We're doing the book of Hosea, and we're up to what's called the seventh chapter. And the Navi has been describing the massive destruction and exile of the Jewish people from the land of Israel. And now the Navi goes back to discuss different punishments that Hashem still has in store before that massive destruction. So we're up to the book of Amos, the seventh chapter. And we dedicate our learning to Chaya Sarah Bat Yosef. Pasuk Aleph. Kohirani Adonai Elohim Vihine Yotzer Govai Bitchilat Alot Alakesh Vihine Lekesh Achar Gizei HaMelech. Kohirani, so has shown me Hashem Elokim. This is what Hashem Elokim, the one who does justice, this is what he showed me. V'hine yotzer govai, and behold, there is a massive production. Hashem is producing these locusts. B'tchilat alot alakesh, when the beginning of the crops start growing. Lekesh is the later crops. We say it every day in Kriyat Shema, Yore u'malkosh, the earlier rains, the later rains. The earlier crops, the later crops. So different types of grains are planted at different times during the rain season, and they produce at different times. So the first to produce is the barley, and then later the wheat produces. So God is sending the govai, this locust, a plague of locusts, at the time that the later crops start flourishing. That's the lakesh, at the time that the wheat starts flourishing. Vehine lekesh, and behold, when that later crop starts to grow, achal gizei amelech, after the king has taken his harvest, then the locust will come. What he's referring to is that there was a standard tax that the king would send his men, and in order to collect feed for the animals, when the wheat would grow, before it would reach the height of a third, so then they'd harvest it, and then it would grow again, and then the person would collect it. And that's called HaKotzer LaShachat, someone who harvests the wheat before it hits a third of its height, before it hits a third of its growth. So then that wheat that's harvested cannot be planted. It won't produce. It's only good for animal feed, but it's a good way of getting two harvests out of one growth. So the kings used to send their men, and they would get the first harvest, which wasn't so valuable. And then the people would own the next harvest, which was the main harvest, which is what really produced the wheat. So vehine lekesh, and then when the late crop starts growing, achal gizei amelech, after the king has taken his harvest, that's when Hashem is going to send the locust, when the main harvest is in full swing. Vehaya im kila le'echol et eisev haaretz, va'omar Adonai Elohim selachna mi yakum Yaakov ki katon hu. And so I saw, the Navi says, as the locust came and consumed everything. And when the locust finished everything, so then I said in prayer, please forgive Israel. Don't punish them with this locust, because who's going to support them in the famine? Kikatonu. We're such a small nation. How could we sustain ourselves? And where are we going to find all the sustenance from? The nations around us, they boycott us. How are we going to stay alive? Poor Israel. Little old Israel. If our crops are destroyed, what are we going to live? So the Navi turns to God and he says, when I saw in this prophecy, when I saw that the locust would finish off all the grass on the ground, I said to God, Hashem Elokim selachna, Hashem, please accept my prayer, forgive them. Mi yakum Yaakov, because how else is Yaakov going to stand? Kikatonu, for Yaakov is small. And who is going to stand up on their behalf and beg you forgiveness? So please, God, I'm begging forgiveness. Forgive the people of Israel. Nicham Adonai al zot lo tie amar Adonai.
And God accepted my prayer, and God annulled the decree, and said, that's not going to happen. So Hashem agreed, I won't send the locust, I won't have the people die in famine. Ko hirani Adonai Elohim, v'hinei korei lariv ba'esh, Adonai Elohim, v'tochal et tehom rabah, v'achala et hachelek. The Navi goes on and says, then I saw a vision of another punishment that was on its way. And God was calling together the angels, v'hinei korei, and behold, Hashem calls the angels in, lariv ba'esh, to fight you with fire, that the angels will come, and there'll be a tremendous heat that will cause fires, and the land of Israel will be scorchingly hot, v'tochal et tehom rabah, and it's as though this heat was able to dry up everything, down to the depths, wherever they had waters, it would all be dried up. Ve'achila et achelek, and it would be as though it consumed completely the portion of land that you have. Chelek is reference to chelkat asadeh, that even the portions of land, everything will be demolished in this heat. Va'omar Adonai Elohim chadalna mi yakum Yaakov. Notice the pasuk. The previous pasuk was, he said, in pasuk Beis, Silachna miyakum Yaakov. Over here he says, Chadalna miyakum Yaakov. And we're already accustomed to the style of Amos. If you recall, in the beginning of Amos, Amos also had this repetitive style, speaking about nation after nation, three sins and the fourth will destroy them. Three sins and the fourth will destroy them. He went on and on with a repetitive style. Here too, he's going from one type of destruction. He raises his prayer and he says, Hashem, please, chadalna, please Hashem, accept my prayer and let go of their sins. Forgive them. Prevent this decree from coming upon them. Because how will they be able to stand up to such a decree of famine? They're so little, how could they sustain themselves? Nicham Adonai al zot, gam hi lo tie, amar Adonai Elohim. God says, okay, I've accepted the prayer, and this decree too shall not come on the Jewish people. Ko hirani, vine Adonai, nitzav al chomat anach, uviado anach. And then he saw a third vision. And he saw God standing on a wall that's called Chomat Anach. Now, Anach was their way of measuring straight lines. They'd have a string, and they'd have a weight at the end of the string. And then when they wanted to check if the wall was built in a straight, if the wall was built straight, so they'd hold the string on top, the weight would pull the string straight down, and they'd see whether the wall is straight or not. So this wall that's built straight is called Chomat Anach, a wall that's built straight. And I saw God standing on top of that wall, Uviyado Anach. And God was holding in his hand this string with the weight, so to speak, measuring, is it straight? And this is a reference to God's measuring up the Jewish people. God says, okay, let's see what they mount up to. Vayomer Adonai Eilai, Mata Roe Amos, Vaomar Anach, Vayomer Adonai, Hinni Sam Anach, Bekerev Ami Yisrael, Lo Osif Od. Hashem says to Amos, he says, what do you see, Amos? Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hashem said to me, Ma ata roe, Amos? What do you see, Amos? The earlier prophecies were clear. This prophecy, God had to make sure was clear to Amos. And God says to him, what do you see? And Amos said, I see that weight, that string that measures things that they're straight. And Hashem said, I will place this measurement among the Jewish people. It's time that I judge them. It's time to take them to task. Lo osif o davor lo. I will not continue to be patient and wait and forgo their sins. V'nashamu b'mot Yitzchak u'mikdashei Yisrael yecherabu. And God says, the altars that they set up for their idols, and they used to joke around by those altars, v'nashamu, they will be desolate, those altars. Now, why is this called Bamot Yitzchak? So some say it's a reference to the joking they did there. And some say it's a reference to our forefather Isaac. And the question is why? Why are we called descendants of Yitzchak? We are usually called descendants of Yaakov, descendants of Yisrael, but not descendants of Yitzchak. Yaakov is the one that we were his descendants. Yitzchak had more than us. Avram had more than us. We're called descendants of Yaakov. So in the prophet of Amos, we will find two places that he refers to us as descendants of Yitzchak. And that's unique to the prophecy of Amos. The Radak says it could be that the reason he refers to it as Bamot Yitzchak is because Yitzchak was set up on an altar. And he did it for the service of Hashem. And look, and God was comparing what we're doing with these altars to what our forefather Yitzchak did. We're using the altars for idol worship, whereas he was willing to give up his life for Hashem on these altars. That's what the Radak suggests. And maybe that's why over here we find it. The Ibn Ezra says that the reason he's referring to Yitzchak is because it's not a reference only to Israel. His focus is on Israel. But he's saying all the descendants of Yitzchak who have been pagans are going to suffer. And he's alluding to the fact that Esav too is going to be destroyed over his pagan ways. That's how the Ibn Ezra explains. So at any rate, v'nashamu b'mot Yitzchak, the altars of Isaac, the Jewish people, or the altars on which they used to joke around in serving their idols, will be desolate. Umikdashei Yisrael, and the Mikdash over here is a reference to the palaces. Mikdash Melech. Mikdash could sometimes mean a palace. So the palaces of Israel, Yecheravu, they will be destroyed. The Radak says that big buildings can be called Mikdash. Mikdash is like a temple, which doesn't have to be necessarily for the worship of Hashem. So Mikdashei Yisrael, the palaces of Israel, Yecheravu, will be destroyed. V'kamti al Beit Yarovam b'charev. V'kamti al Beit Yarovam b'charev. And I will stand up on the house of Yeravam, the son of Yoash. I will stand up against him and attack him with sword. And that's a reference to Zechariah that was killed by Shalom ben Yavesh. He was murdered. Okay, so this is Amos' prophecy. And now, we go over for the first time in the book of Amos, we continue with the story. So what happens when Amos gives this prophecy? Vayishlach Amatziah Kohen Beit El El Yarovam Melech Yisrael Leimor. So Amatziah, who was a priest in the temple in Beit El, where they had set up idol worship, so Amatziah sent word to Yerovam, the king of Israel, saying the following: Kashar Alecha Amos Bekerev Beit Yisrael Lo Tuchal Haaretz Leachil Et Kol Devarav. He sends word to Yerovam, you know, Amos says you're going to be murdered, you're going to be assassinated. If Amos is prophesizing that you're going to be assassinated, so he's arousing people to assassinate you. So the prophet of the pagans, Amatziah, the prophet of Beit El, sends word to Yerovam, to the king, you can't leave him publicly prophesying this way, he's arousing a revolt. People can't hear what he's saying, that someone's talking about destruction and then that the king will be assassinated. You can't leave that. You can't leave that. He told him, you should know that the people can't stand hearing him either. And therefore, if you want to kill him or do whatever you want with Amos, you should know the people are going to back you on it.
Kicho amar Amos b'cherev yamut Yerovam.
Because this is what Amos says, that Yerovam will be killed by sword. Now that's not what Amos said. Amos said, Beit Yerovam, the house of Yerovam. It wasn't, he didn't say it about Yerovam himself. He said, the house of Yerovam. It was actually his descendants that were assassinated. But when he quoted it, he misquoted it to the king, and he said, because this is what Amos said. Amos said that you, Yerovam, are going to be assassinated by sword.
Ve'Yisrael galo yigle me'al admato.
And Israel will be exiled from upon their land. So this is the word he sent to the king of Israel.
Vayomer Amatziah el Amos, Chose lech berach lecha el Eretz Yehuda.
So Amatziah said to Amos, he said to him, Chose, you who sees visions, what are you doing out here in the northern 10 tribes? Go, run to the land of Yehuda. That's where you have the Mikdash of Hashem. That's the place where you should be prophesizing. What are you prophesizing here in the north? Everyone here is, they're all my constituents. They're all pagans like me. Brach lecha le'etz Yehuda. Go there to the land, run away to the land of Yehuda.
Ve'chol sham lechem v'sham tinaveh.
And there they'll support you. They'll be happy to give you money for your prophecies. There you should give your prophecy. Now, he's insinuating that you just want money. So, you want money, go there. Now, that's a lie. Amos doesn't want money, as Amos is going to say in a minute. It seems like this confrontation was public from the continuation, it seems to me. And it's interesting, here we see a human flaw. Ordinarily, people judge others like they themselves are. The prophets of the pagans were all prophets for the money. So he figures, you know, you want to make money on these prophecies. It's in your interest, Amos. Get out of here. Go to the south. In the south, they'll be happy to hear prophecies about the destruction of the north. Here in the north, you're not going to make any money this way. Amos, get out of here. This isn't the place to be prophesizing about the destruction of the north. Go to the southern kingdom. There people will pay you for these prophecies. Now Amos is saying God's word, that he's not interested in money.
Uveit el lotosif od lehinave.
And don't continue prophesizing here in Beit El. We don't want to hear your prophecies here.
Ki migdash melechu uveit mamlachahu.
He told him, because if you keep prophesizing here, this is where the king runs the show. And this is where we have control. And if you continue prophesizing this way, you might find yourself killed. You want to prophesize like this? Go down to the south, go to the Judean kingdom. So Amos answered, and whenever you have the word Vayan, so we have the simple meaning, like the Targum says, that he replied. And then we have what Rashi teaches us, that wherever you encounter the word Vayan in Tanakh, it means he raised his voice and said, he said to Amatziah,
Lo navi anochi, velo ven navi anochi, ki voker anochi uvoles shikmim.
He said to him, you know, I don't make my money on prophecies. I'm not like one of your prophets, that my money is based on my prophecies. I'm not walking around and saying, oh, my father was a prophet and I deserve money, I'll give you prophecies. No. Ki voker anochi. I have the cattle. I have my own assets that make me money. Uvoles shikmim. And I follow my shikmim, my shikma plants, And that's where I make my money. I see when it's time to harvest, and when my fig trees, my shikmim, when they blossom, that's when I harvest them, and that's where I make my money. So Amos tells him, I'm not a prophet like you guys. But it's interesting. People often quote this. Lo navi anochi velo ben navi anochi. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. Amos was a prophet, and he was the son of a prophet. He was both. So when he says, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, what he means is, I'm not like your prophets. I'm not into the money here. I came here to do what God told me. Amos was actually wealthy. He had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of wealth. So that's what Amos is telling him. I'm not in here for the money. The simple reading here is, Lo navi anochi, I never asked for prophecy. I wasn't working to learn prophecy. That I'm doing it for the money. My father didn't teach me to go make money off of prophecy. I deal with my cattle, and I'm working with mixing my figs for the animal, and I'm not sitting around looking to be your prophet. I'm doing it because God told me. This isn't my interest. My soul, my work, my what I do during the day is I deal with my cattle and I mix my figs to feed my cattle. Vayikachayni Adonai me'acharei hatzon vayomer elai Adonai lechinavei el ami Yisrael. And God took me. I wasn't interested in this, but God took me from my sheep, and God said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Ve'ata shema devar Adonai, ata omer, lo tinavei al Yisrael, ve'lo tatif al beit Yisrak. And now hear the words of Hashem. Ve'ata shema devar Hashem. Now listen to the word of Hashem. Shema over here doesn't mean to hear, but rather accept the word of Hashem. Ata omer, you're telling me, lo tinave al Yisrael, don't prophesize on the Jewish people. Ve'lo tatif al Beit Yisrak, nor should you give your prophecy over to the house of Yisrak. This is the second time, as we discussed earlier, that the Navi Amos calls the Jewish people the house of Yisrak. So he tells them, I don't need your money. What I do need is listen. This is what God is saying. That God has said, Lachen ko amar Adonai ishtecha ba'ir tizne uvanecha uvnotecha b'cherev yipolo v'admatcha b'chevel techulak ve'ata al adamah temea tamut ve'Yisrael galo yigle me'al admato. You Amatzia, you tell me not to prophesize. So God has an answer for you. God says, I want you to know, in the city, publicly, your wife is going to become a public prostitute. And your sons and daughters will be killed by sword. And your land will be divided. People are going to be measuring it, dividing it among the pagans that will take over the land of Israel. And you, after you witness all of that, Amatzia, you will go to defiled land, you will go to Chutzarts, you will be taken out of the land of Israel, and there you will die. Ve'Yisrael galo yigle me'al admato. And Israel will really be exiled from upon their land, they will go out to Chutzarts. You deny my prophecy. You're saying, I'm in it for the money. No, I'm telling you true prophecy, and wait, you'll see it in your own family. Ko hirani Adonai Elohim v'hine kiluv kayitz. Amos goes on to his next prophecy and he says, this is what God showed me. And God showed me a type of basket filled with kites. Kites is the dried fruits. Vayomer mataroe Amos vaomar kiluv kayitz vayomer Adonai Elai. Bahakeitz elami Yisrael loosif od avor lo. So God said to Amos, Vayomer, God said to him, Mata roe Amos, what do you see, Amos? Vaomar, I said, kluv kaitz, I see this basket filled with dry fruits. Yomer Hashem Elai, so God said to me, Kaitz is a play on word. Kaitz is like kates. There's an end. So God said to me, Bahaketz el Ami Yisrael, the end time has come for my nation Israel. Lo sifo davo lo, I will not continue passing upon their sins. Notice again, we have a second time, almost an identical prophecy. Lo sifo davo lo, that's what God said in the beginning earlier. In Pasuk Chet, in the previous chapter. Vehililu shirot heichal bayom ha'o ne'um Adonai Elohim rav ha'peger bechol makom hishlichas vehililu. And people will wail at that time. Shirot heichal bayom ha'o, the songs that they used to sing in their temples will turn to wails in that day. Ne'um Hashem Elokim, so said Hashem, the one who controls the world. Rav ha'peger, there will be many people killed in the war. You'll see many corpses. Peger is a corpse. Wherever you look, you're going to see corpses. Bechol makom hishlich has, and there are going to be so many corpses that wherever you look, you'll just see silence, because when there are corpses lying around, people tend to be quiet. So there'll be such destruction that people won't even talk, because they won't want to weaken their friends more than they're weakened by the fact that they're surrounded with corpses. So Hashem tells them, Rav ha'peger, there's going to be corpses all around. Bechol makom ishlich has. And anyone who tries to cry, everyone will tell them, shh, 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 shh. Don't panic. Don't get people more riled up than they already are. So Hashem is giving him a prophecy about the imminent destruction. I keep looking for a nice place to stop. Chazal say you should always pause on a good note. But the truth is that we don't have one coming up so close. So I'll have to pause here. And to be continued next week, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Yerovam is son of
Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm.